This is ESPN Radio.
The countdown to Thanksgiving is on here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And Mike, that's where we got to go right now to bring in our good buddy Jason Fitz. And Jason, before we get to the college football playoff rankings and the committee rankings for the power rankings in the NFL, I got to ask you about any spicy food takes you might have about Thanksgiving. God. Because here's the thing. We had Darren Orlovsky on earlier, and he said that he's not having turkey on Thanksgiving. He says that's reserved for the deli space. We had the takes from Matt Jadon, who said that a macaroni and cheese is awful. It's no good. It's just a bunch of noodles and cheese. And then we had Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback, saying that he's got no time for pies. So we got to know from you, do you have any spicy food takes when it comes to Thanksgiving?
No. Sorry, Mike. You know, Golic Jr. has heard this every year that we've worked together now. Just a reminder, pie's trash. All pie is trash. It doesn't matter. Your grandma's like homemade pie recipe, garbage, all right? And, you know, everybody says, no, but that means you haven't had good pie. Well, when you tour in the country music, you go to every fair and festival and eat every family recipe pie there is. I've eaten pie all over the world. Pie crust is garbage. And don't at me with cheesecake and key lime, which are actually part of the tort family. Learned that last year with Bobby Carpenter. So a chef called in and said, those are torts. I'm good on a tort, out on the pie. Anything pie can do, cake can do better, and substantially better.
Well, I won't disagree with that. Cake is better than pie. Like, that's an easy take for me to co-sign here. But the all pie is trash thing, it just feels so binary for no reason. Fitz, there are plenty of good pies out there. Pumpkin pie.
Bad.
Chocolate pie.
Bad.
Sweet potato pie.
Bad.
Blueberry pie?
Bad. It's the whole crust thing.
It's just other thing. What is wrong with crust?
It's not good.
I can't believe I let you trigger me like this every year. I hate your guts. I don't know why you do this to me every year. Why I'm defending crust of all things. But here we are. It's just such a colossally dumb thing.
I had some friends that brought over a couple of homemade pies, and she's like the best pie maker. You know, like that's what she takes pride in. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's going to change your mind. And you know what? I thought of you, Mike. I was like, you know, I'm an evolving human being. I'll try it again. And everybody's raving about the pie. I took the tiniest piece. And then I was like, find me a trash can I can spit this out in. Like, it is just pie crust is an abomination.
You're a 44-year-old
Okay, Fitzy, enough with the negative. What about the positive? What is the one thing you do look forward to on Thanksgiving?
Look, I love all food. And by the way, like pumpkin cheesecake is a delight. I love all food other than pie, Mike. I mean, so mac and cheese is big for me. I love mac and cheese. I'm all in on that. And I'm a big turkey maker. Actually, I'm pretty hoss up on the turkey. You do the you get the butter to room temp, and then you season the butter, and you put your hand between the meat and the skin, and you go ahead and you just rub down the meat between the meat and the skin with the butter, and you let that butter sit under the skin, and then if you don't care how your bird looks, you actually cook it upside down so that the butter actually bathes the white meat. Oh, it's a delight. It's a delight.
Know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
I'm backing
that's
away.
Exactly how my fiance does it. Nah, hello.
I'm telling you. Hell of a cook. People don't realize that. Hell of a cook.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. I'm backing away from all this very slowly. Very, very slowly here. And instead, what I'm going to do is ask Jason Fitz about I don't want to hear what you do with the meat or the skin. It's all making me really uncomfortable, Jason.
Greasy for a day afterwards. Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Jason, why did James Franklin get $10 million to coach for Penn State?
Because that's a going rate for mediocrity. Like you always say with quarterbacks, you always say this, Mike, that it's not necessarily someone's play doesn't dictate what they're worth. The market dictates what they're worth. And at this point, we know that if you're a pretty good football coach that's going to lose two or three games most years and in a great year maybe be in a conference championship conversation, the going rate for that is 10 years and a bunch of millions of dollars. So the interesting thing to me isn't James Franklin getting whatever $75 million and Mel Tucker getting a reported $95 million. The interesting thing to me is the U-Up text that Saban's got to be sending everybody saying, hey, if those guys are worth $95 million over 10 years, I got to be worth $150, right? $160. I mean, what's a national championship going to be worth now for a coach that actually wins one? I mean, you're talking about stratosphere money coming in.
Yeah, well, speaking of Big Ten coaches, because you just brought up Mel Tucker and James Franklin, let me ask you about Ryan Day and his bunch at Ohio State with a banner win over Michigan State. I want to say it's the largest margin of victory against a top 10 opponent in the last 70 years. So, I mean, what does this mean for Ohio State when it comes to the college football playoff rankings tonight and where they're going to be slotted? Because I got to feel like based on what they did and then what we saw from Alabama against Arkansas, that Ohio State is poised to leapfrog the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to be number two. And, frankly, I wouldn't have had a hard time last week if they were number two. And, you know, this matchup was a little bit of strength on weakness. The secondary for Michigan State is an abomination. We know that. And Ohio State can throw on anybody. So I think the matchup really favored Ohio State in that sense. And Ohio State won't get tested this week against Michigan. Same reason. I mean, their passing defense, I think, is 99th in the country. And I want to say their big play defense is 73rd in the country, so you can get yards, you can get big yards in massive chunks against Ohio State. The problem is that's not really Michigan's strength. So I think Ohio State showed up with their strength on a weakness of Michigan. They attacked it, Michigan State, I should say, and Sparty wasn't able to attack them back. So really simple formula that led to Ohio State just absolutely crushing them. I just don't know that that means that the Michigan game will be as out of hand, even though I do believe Ohio State is substantially better than Michigan.
Kenny Angolik Jr. here talking to Jason Fitz, co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio. You'll also hear him with myself and Christine Williamson on Rankings Reaction coming up on ESPN's digital properties starting at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. We know we get another round of these college football playoff rankings. And Fitz, we wave bye-bye to Oregon. Utah made sure that that is no longer a conversation about head-to-head that we have to have in the committee room. So now is it just as simple as Cincinnati slides up into the top four and we all go about our business?
Yeah, for now, right? But what happened when Oklahoma State, you know, presuming Oklahoma State gets a couple of wins over Oklahoma, is that going to be enough? I mean, the strength of schedule, and Heather Dinich said it on Friday on one of the digital shows I host. She said the more she talked to people around the committee, the more she kept hearing strength of schedule is a bigger conversation than even she thought. So she didn't feel comfortable going into the weekend that it was necessarily there for them. Now, the chaos in front helps out here. I think that there's still the opportunity for chaos to simply allow Cincinnati to get in. But I wouldn't be stunned to see Oklahoma State get a bigger pop this week than most of us think. And they're going to leave the runway for Cincinnati to still be bypassed.
Jason, I know that we got the news that Dan Mullen was fired out in Florida. Any thoughts about who Florida should be going after in terms of their next head coach?
No, but, you know, I guess I'm just a little surprised. And I'm not surprised because Mullen's some great coach. But to the point Mike made earlier, like, who's there that's going to come in and suddenly make you drastically better and also worth paying the buyouts that you're going to have to pay to do it? I mean, we're not that far removed from Florida being competitive. And let's remember that they lost Pitts and Trask this year in the draft. Like, we expected a bit of a step back, did we not? I know it's fallen off the rails a little bit, but I'm surprised that they made the change now. And every time you go back, and this is, doesn't matter whether it's college football or the NFL, you always think you got your guy, and 5 years later we're going to look back and most of the coaches that are hired are going to turn out to be not successful. So I don't know why coaches are suddenly on the hot seat so closely removed from when they were successful.
It was pretty impressive to watch a team that was in the SEC championship last year, a team that played Alabama close in the swamp earlier this year and had a lot of people's respect, all of a sudden get blown out by teams like South Carolina, by teams like Eli Drinkwitz's Missouri, and all of a sudden we are writing a completely different postscript on the Dan Mullen era in Florida. Lots to keep on as silly season gets going here with these college football jobs. But we have that another round of college football playoff committee rankings coming out tonight. That is where you can catch me, Jason Fitz, and Christine Williamson later tonight. You can also listen to Jason on Spain and Fitz Monday through Friday at 7 to 9 Eastern. Jason, I'm sure we'll be doing this pie thing
trash.
This time next
trash.
Year.
Pie
and I will still want to strangle you.
Pie is trash.
Coming up next, what's the state of the GM, the head coach, everything top to bottom in this New York Giants organization? We will go into some therapy for Chris Canty and the members of this show next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
It's been a long time coming for Giants fans to face the music on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're truth tellers today on Tuesday. We're here for all the Giants fans. I know that a lot of fans feel really bad about what happened on Monday Night Football, being embarrassed by what their football team did down in Raymond James Stadium. But I'm here to offer some semblance of hope, Gojo, for the Giants fans, because the performance that we saw coming off the bye week was so bad by Joe Judge and his team that I think the organization is going to have to face the facts that this rebuild under Dave Gettleman is a massive failure. And ultimately, they're going to end up parting ways with the general manager. And if you're going to make that decision, then that probably means that the head coach and the quarterback that the GM drafted in the top 10 3 years ago are going to be on the outs too. It just feels like that's the direction that this thing is going in, because I don't know that there's a whole lot of hope that it's going to get any better in the last seven games that the New York Giants have to play.
No, Chris, this feels like every disaster movie that The Rock's ever starred in, right? Because you know, before the big disaster, there's always that first tremor, like that first hint that something's going wrong. And in almost every coaching spiral, that is firing your coordinators. This is more of usually a college football move. But now with Joe Judge firing Jason Garrett after some pretty pointed comments about the offense needing to put their players in a position to score more points, like those comments on the surface appear designed to force the blame on somebody there. And Jason Garrett came out and publicly owned his portion of the blame, but also to kind of have the back of the guy who's your immediate ally in this situation and Dave Gettleman saying, we've got talented guys. It supports the locker room. And it supports the GM. But you're right, Joe Judge isn't going to walk out of this clean here. Keyshawn Johnson brought this up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, looking straight at the Giants head coach and asking, what exactly are you?
I don't know what he is. What is he? Like, I don't know what he is. Is he a leader? Is he a motivator? Is he just a guy who wants to walk around and look a certain way? Does he spend all his time on social media? Like, what is he? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, is he in his office designing plays? Is he in his office philosophizing and trying to figure out how to motivate his team? Is he having real conversations with the coaching staff? Does he know X's and O's? Like, what is he? Because you don't have to be an X and O coach to be successful. You can just be a CEO type if you hire the right coaches around you.
And Chris, I think that's a great point, because we've seen all different kinds of coaches have success, and seeing and understanding what coaching is from the outside is hard, right? Because most of the stuff Key mentioned, most of the stuff you and I experienced as players, it goes sight unseen. That's groundwork laid and foundations laid behind closed doors for a long time. But usually when coaching's good, and I always say this about individual units, if you want to see an offensive line that is well coached, watch all five guys, and if you see them all doing the exact same things when they're put in the same situations, when the picture looks great and similar all across the board, that's usually a product of coaching. We have not seen any semblance of consistency across the board on any facet or phase of the football game when it comes to the Giants football team, and that's a direct indictment of the head man.
Yeah, Mike, and it's interesting that you bring up the offensive line, because I go back to last year when Joe Judge made the controversial decision in the middle of the season to fire Mark Colombo, who was attached at the hip to Jason Garrett because he didn't feel like the offensive line was doing a good enough job. And that was supposed to be Joe Judge asserting himself and establishing his presence and his program with the New York Football Giants organization. And that was supposed to carry over into this season. But when Keyshawn asked the question about who is Joe Judge, I'll tell you exactly who Joe Judge is. He's a head coach that loses twice as much as he wins. He's got a 9-17 record, and quite frankly, it just ain't good enough. And I know everybody wants to point at Dave Gettleman and him being the reason at fault, not being able to have talent. But you know what? The one thing I can say about Joe Judge that I haven't seen is his ability to be able to develop the players that Dave Gettleman has gotten for him. I haven't seen his team consistently get better. As a matter of fact, it feels like they regressed from the second half that they had in the season his last year, in a tougher year because of the COVID restrictions. But in looking at Joe Judge's job security, there's nothing that he's done of any substance that makes me think that he should be safe in all of this mess. There's no way that they can just gloss over Joe Judge and point the finger of blame at Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman. All three of them are together in all of this, and I think that there's plenty of blame to go around. But in watching last night's game and watching the Giants throughout the course of the entire season, it's clear that they don't have an identity, and that to me falls on the head coach. And I go back to something that Logan Ryan, one of the team leaders for the Giants, said early this season. He said it in training camp. The Giants got into a big fight, and Joe Judge disciplined them with an old-school way with running laps after practice. And you know what? Logan Ryan stood at the podium, and he said, "We believe in our head coach. We got his back. We trust his methods." Well, for a team that's 3-7 through their first 10 games, how far has that trust gotten the players in terms of what their head coach's plan is for this team to be successful? Hadn't gotten them very far. So you have to put a lot of this on Joe Judge. I know he hasn't been there for a very long time. You're just talking about him being in the middle of year two. But I don't see any way that he can survive this season if the Giants continue to trend in the direction that they're going in right now.
The three most important facets, and we're not reinventing the wheel here, of any successful team that we've watched, are having your quarterback, your head coach, and your GM on the same timeline and going in the same direction here. Look at how well that's worked out in the Arizona Cardinals. We had questions about Cliff Kingsbury. Kyler Murray was the second top overall quarterback they had taken in 2 years. But Steve Keim out there understood, hey, we have to give our head coach a good chance by letting him go with the guy here. What you've got now is a group that's got too many problems for it to just be one person. And if you take out just one part of the situation, just the quarterback or just the head coach or just the GM, you're going to end up off timeline for whatever comes next, Chris, and you're going to make losses and problems in this regime problems for whatever comes next.
There is no question about that, Gojo, and I'm glad you brought up the Arizona Cardinals as an example, because they took a quarterback in the top 10 and they had a head coach on his first year. And you know what? Steve Keim made the tough choice to go ahead and fire Steve Wilks and move on from Josh Rosen because it was in the best interest of the new head coach and what he wanted to do. And I think that you've got to afford the new general manager for the New York Giants that same latitude, that same level of autonomy. Allow him to pick his own head coach. Allow him to pick his own quarterback. Right now, if the draft was today, the Giants would have two top 10 picks. So that's plenty of ammunition, whether you want to go get a veteran quarterback or whether you want to draft a guy. But it's clear to me that based on what we've seen from Daniel Jones in the first 3 years and what we've seen from Joe Judge in the first two, that neither one of them are good enough to put the Giants on solid footing where they can be consistently competitive. So something has to happen. I think it should be wholesale changes. If not, the Giants are just going to be on the treadmill of mediocrity.
And no one wants to live on that treadmill, or any treadmill for that matter. Treadmills suck and so does running. Coming up next, both of those things could and should be in the bottom five, but that is Chris Canty's territory. We will get you to the bottom five things from the NFL weekend that was after this word from Wendy's. Now, right now, actually, at Wendy's, you can see what all the hype's about with our new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real, natural cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt, and then guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to the very last fry. Or we'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries that you add to a meal. These are fries worth adding a meal to. Abandon the old, cold, and soggy, ugh, and head to Wendy's today, where your fries are guaranteed to be hot and crispy. At participating U.S. Wendy's, bottom five from the NFL next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
All right, let's kick this off with the Illinois State High School Playoffs. Now, why does a high school playoff game in the Midwest make the list? Well, we all know high school kids can be brutally tough. Two students at Lake Forest High School got a dose of that savagery in their game against Cary Grove, which they lost 40-7. But the story wasn't about what happened on the field. It was about what was being chanted from the stands by the students at Cary Grove High School. And the chant was, "Fire Matt Nagy," because two of the players from Lake Forest were Braden and Tate Nagy, Bears head coach Matt Nagy's sons. Guess the fans are going to get what they're wishing for, because after the Lion game, the word on the street is after Thanksgiving that Matt Nagy's probably going to be relieved of his duties. Now, Gojo, I know you had some strong opinions about this going down.
Yeah.
High school kids and doing it. You thought it was the parents, but it actually turns out it was the students from the rival high school that Lake Forest was playing. So does that change your opinion about them chanting "Fire Matt Nagy" from the stands?
Not going to lie, it kind of does. That's Adam. As someone that was once in the crowd in the student section here, that's actually some pretty deep cut sicko stuff here that I kind of, is amongst high school kids. You know, listen, man, all's fair in love in student sections here, outside of, like, you know, wildly racist and inappropriate stuff. Let's not get it twisted.
All right. Keeping it moving. Let's go to number four. All right. It has to be, and I hate to do this to my quarterback because he did go to my high school. I'm proud of him for being a top 10 pick. But I got to put Daniel Jones at number four. Why? Because his two interceptions in the second half cost the Giants any chance they had of making a comeback in that game against the Bucs. And last year, his two interceptions cost the Giants a second-half lead in a primetime game against, you guessed it, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. His decision-making is becoming harder and harder to explain. On the pick to Steve McClendon, even Brian Greasy couldn't figure out why he didn't throw the ball away since he was outside of the pocket. The two turnovers put Daniel Jones at 11 total touchdowns to 10 total turnovers on the season. And for his career, he's at 49 total touchdowns to 49 total turnovers. Gojo, we're in the midst of year three for Daniel Jones. I got to say, there ain't a whole lot to hold on to in terms of him being the future franchise quarterback for the Giants.
No, he apparently operates touchdown to interception ratios by the Thanos perfectly balanced as all things should be theory, and that didn't work well for him. I don't think it's going to work well for DJ either.
All right, keeping it moving. Number three, Baker and Emily Mayfield.
Oh, man.
So we had a high school game on here. Now we've got a husband and wife on here. First time it's ever happened on top five, bottom five in the history of the segment. But as bad as Baker's play was on the field on Sunday, and it was bad, his response and followed by his wife's social media post had to be worse. After his game, the worst game of the season against the worst opponent he faced on the season, he declined to talk to the media. And then after the game, it just seems like there was a leadership opportunity that he missed. And rather than seizing the opportunity to set the agenda for the team, he decided that he wanted to put himself first. And to top it all off, his wife, Emily, takes a shot at the rest of the team in defense of her husband's toughness because he's playing with an injury. Gojo, I'm not sure that Baker Mayfield or his wife, Emily, actually accomplished what they set out to do by not talking to the media and then posting on social media. But needless to say, it's all bad in Cleveland for what's supposed to be the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, this thing is spiraling quickly right now. And somewhere, Odell Beckham Jr. lurking on a Rams team that, spoiler alert, is going to look pretty good down the stretch of this season has to be feeling pretty, pretty good.
I like you channeling your inner Larry David right there, too. I appreciate that. Number two. It has to go to Isaiah McKenzie, right?
Oh, yeah.
It has to. We have to have something from the Buffalo Bills because they got a beatdown at the hands of the Indianapolis Colts on their home turf. It was clear that the Colts came out there with something on their mind, and they made the Buffalo Bills bend toward their will. But this was one of those things that seemed like an unforced error. Isaiah McKenzie, right at the two-minute warning, goes to field a kickoff at the three-yard line, and I guess, Gojo, the turf monster got him because he slipped, tripped, fell on the turf, but not before fumbling the ball and handing the ball to the Colts at the two-yard line, point-blank range. It was an easy touchdown from there to Jonathan Taylor, and that put the Colts up 24-7 at the half, and it felt like that was the death knell for the Buffalo Bills because they weren't going to be able to climb out of that hole against Indy, not on that day.
Yep, and you know what, Chris? I can only assume this is karma because if you'll remember, last time on Dragon Ball Z, Isaiah McKenzie was the one who got up here and said that he decommitted from Notre Dame because some coach supposedly told him that you weren't allowed to have sex on campus there, which we know is patently false and slanderous and will not be stood for on this show or any program that I'm a part of here. And so I can only imagine when you go out here and speak these falsehoods into existence that eventually karma comes back around and makes you fumble on your own when you're taking a kickoff out of the end zone.
Yeah, the universe doesn't forget. There we go. And neither do we. But that segment's for a later date this week. Number one on the bottom five this week. It's got to go to Ryan Tannehill. And do you know why, Gojo, it's got to go to Ryan Tannehill? Because you're the quarterback of a team that was riding a six-game winning streak going up against a team that hadn't won a game since week one against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ew. Say no more. Like, that's why you get number one on the list. Now, it just so happens that this was Ryan Tannehill's 131st NFL game, and this is the first time which he threw four interceptions, and three of those picks came in the last 12 minutes of the game. So you know what that tells me? Your quarterback didn't even do a chance to come from behind against an inferior team. Now, I get it. It was a sloppy track down there in Nashville, but that's no excuse because they're playing against a shell of a football team in the Houston Texans, coached by a first-year head coach in David Culley. So I don't want to hear the excuses. Tennessee is supposed to have one of the easiest strengths to schedule down the stretch, and they dropped the game that everybody had in pin that they would win. Ryan Tannehill, you got to be better, my man.
Yeah, I thought that guy at the Kings game was the only one we were going to see puke all over himself this weekend. I was wrong about that. Tighten up apparently does not apply to this situation here. So that is the bottom five from the NFL weekend that was. We will, like Chris said, give you plenty of the stuff that people usually forget. That's tomorrow's segment. All these different things that we got going on. Coming up next, though, one of the sayings inside every locker room is look out for your buddy. Take care of your teammate. Take care of the people that take care of you. I got to ask Chris Canty about one of his fellow Giants alums here who is making a big decision and one that I'm not sure is the right one. We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Three and Out here on Canty and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. And Chris, we got to talk about one of your teammates in the Giants brotherhood here. Michael Strahan, the Pro Football Hall of Famer and GMA host, is going to space. He's going to join Laura Shepard Churchley, the eldest daughter of the late astronaut Alan Shepard, on the December 9 mission aboard New Shepard, a spacecraft named after her dad, who was the first American in space. This is a flight from the Blue Origin Group, a company headed by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos. It's going to have four paying customers that will be the third by the New Shepard craft to shuttle humans to space this year. Chris, where are you at on going to space, man? I've never understood this fascination with people.
Man, Gojo, you know where I'm at with this, man. I'm not one for skydiving or bungee jumping. You think I actually want to get on a spacecraft and go leave Earth? I ain't lost nothing in space, bruh. I have no interest in doing that. And furthermore, I feel like there's so much that can go wrong with this. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not somebody that's really risk tolerant. And quite frankly, I got enough adventure in my life than to be jumping on a spacecraft and trying to go to outer space, bro. I'm all set on that front. I'm not sure what Strahan is trying to accomplish with this. Maybe this has something to do with a midlife crisis. I know he just turned 50, so that might be a part of it. But I'm not quite sure what the rush is for him or what the interest for him is in wanting to go to space. Like, I don't get it. Even if it's only for a few minutes that you're in space, why, bro? I just don't understand. Is this something that you got to check off the box to do? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't want to knock him for it because I don't understand it. But let me just tell you this. This is not something that I'm signing up to do.
Chris,
it's just not going to happen.
I'll say this. This is what happens when you get too rich. Like, he's got too much money coming in. Because when you get too much rich and you got time on your hands, this is what happens to you. This is what you start to think is a good idea here. There's a reason astronauts got to train and work as long and hard as they do. It's like being a doctor. I got no desire to go in and all of a sudden scrub into surgery tomorrow. People go to school for years for that stuff here. Let the experts handle that wild and crazy stuff. I will be here with Chris Canty, firmly planted, 10 toes down.
Gojo, let me ask you a question. Do they add this on his placard or his bust at the Hall of Fame, like first NFL player to go to space? Like, is that something that they put in Canton?
Honestly, Chris, if they're going to do it, you might as well make him, right?
Like, right, I'm just saying, like, this, put his flight suit in there or something. Like, I feel like that should go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame because he will be the first NFL player that actually went to space.
Our preview producer, Jerry, pointed out, put the astronaut helmet on his bust here, right? We got white bleeping lights jersey in the Hall of Fame, for God's sakes. Put Michael Strahan, the actual Hall of Famer space helmet, in there.
Hello.
There we go. We got this all sorted out here. You know what else we can put into a Hall of Fame here? Maybe not the NFL, but the NBA's. How about Iman Shumpert's Dancing with the Stars championship trophy here? In addition to now being a 2016 NBA champion, Shumpert got to go on Dancing with the Stars and held this thing down here. Chris, it was his performance to the remix from the I Got Five On It remix from the Jordan Peele horror movie Us that I think won a lot of people over. But when he went out and sealed the deal last night, man, Shump was in his zone, Chris. We saw him make his debut on NBA Live with the folks over there showing off some of the moves. He's impressive.
No doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned it. The I Got Five performance on it from Us. I mean, dressed up in the doppelganger outfits with the all-red jumpsuits. Like, he really nailed that one. And then going out in the finals and having, what, a 40 for 40, like a perfect score. Like, it's unbelievable what he did. But I guess we really shouldn't be surprised because he is married to Teyana Taylor. And beyond just being a singer and a songwriter, she's also a choreographer, and she's been known for her dance moves. So not saying that she got involved with that, but I would be surprised if he didn't get some pointers for his lady just to make sure that he showed good on this one. But I thought the more interesting part about it is when they asked Shump, like, who would be some NBA players that would be good at this? He said Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony. Could we be seeing Carmelo Anthony on Dancing with the Stars sooner rather than later? I don't know. It'd be interesting. I tune in. But Shump is the first NBA player to actually win it. So congrats to him for actually getting down and competing in this competition and bringing home the trophy. I like that.
Listen, if you're going to go out there and represent for the entire league, that's the best possible way to do it right now. We got a boxing match coming up where a lot of that's on stake. You could just go on Dancing with the Stars instead, comparatively less painful, and you still get a trophy at the end of all of that. Chris, we talked all day, though, about some controversial Thanksgiving takes here. We had Matt Judon from the Patriots saying he doesn't like mac and cheese. We had Mac Jones saying he's out on all pie. Jason Fitz came through and co-signed that. We had, unfortunately, Ryan McGee say he's out on collard greens. Chris, my only controversial Thanksgiving take is I think Christmas decorations should be up in the background. Is there anything you want to get off your chest?
Nothing I want to get off my chest. I'm going to be careful about towing that line with my lady and being critical of the menu on Thanksgiving. Although everybody knows that I would prefer duck to the turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm just going to put that out there again in case she's listening. But no, there's nothing I want to say, Gojo. I already caught the L twice yesterday. I've got to do dishes for the family for the entire week of Thanksgiving, not to mention that I'm forced to fend for myself the next couple of days and finding dinner. So I don't want to say anything inflammatory and get on the bad side of wifey, especially before she starts cooking tomorrow for Thanksgiving.
That is why Chris Canty is going to be married a good long time. Speaking of great duos, stick around here. Spain and Fitz coming up next on ESPN Radio.